Is it hot seeing him be like sexy dad?
No.
Like you see him holding the baby, you're like, oh my God.
No.
Do you guys have more or less sex than before?
Less. And also, I'm shook that he thought that he would like be getting sex. Like, I'm literally like, I pushed the baby out of there.
Welcome to Burning Hell.
Okay, little devils, we have a returning guest in hell. Whenever anyone wants to come back to hell, I always question their sanity. But I begged her to come in. This is not skinny, but not fat. I guess the real person behind the account. Amanda fucking Hirsch, welcome to hell. Satan welcomes you with open arms.
I love a few things. A, the first time I came on, you said the name wrong, and I almost...
I actually got nervous because I almost did it wrong.
Yeah, you were thinking, you're like, but
I overthought it.
Because, like, if you don't put the but or the and, like, it can mean something different. And that's just not cool. And two, isn't it awkward to do the opening thing with the guest in front of your face? Or is that just me?
It's awkward when I, like, I rarely promote my stuff on here because I feel like it's weird to invite someone and be like, okay, guys, like, I have this show and this merch and, like, give me money. And then, who are you? But no, I like doing the intro because I feel like it makes people kind of embarrassed. It's almost like singing happy birthday to them. And they're kind of just like, there. I don't know what to do, but I'll just smile. And then they always make a weird noise after you intro them. They're like, hey.
I was invited on a podcast. And for the first 10 minutes, they were talking and I was just there.
Yeah. At some point you're like, you could just talk about me the whole time and I'll nod.
I know. I love that. I love when I have you on and that's legit what you say. They, Dear Media just put up a clip of you and I, and I was like, excuse me, that was months ago. We don't care anymore. but it was you saying something funny. And I was also like, hello, like put the clip there. I'm saying, but you saying some, you said something very quick. What'd you say? Like a drive by date. Did you see what they put up?
Yeah. Just like if you're going to date someone, like immediately go to the DMV or like a Home Goods and see if it'll work.
Yeah. So that was really funny. And then I remembered that podcast interview, I was like sick. And first of all, people need to know something.
What?
It's really disgusting. But like in this day of age, we catch up when we podcast together.
Yeah, this is our catch up, by the way. You guys are just witnessing two friends. We haven't talked for a while. And I was so excited to record this because when you don't know someone, you have to like butter them up and like get them to trust you. You already know you can't trust me. So like we're just right into it.
I know. I was telling you, it's so weird because when I first met Hannah, like you guys, and it's not that long ago, right? It's like 2 years. She came to my house, this like stranger.
Sketchy
AF with a giant iced coffee, like jittering dressed from the night horribly. Before.
Yep.
Dressed horribly. Mm-hmm. Went, was like, I have to poop. Went to my bathroom. Smelly.
Blew it up.
And imagine like how crazy that is. We're not talking about 2002. We're talking about a year ago where you wanted to podcast with someone. You had to be physically with them in the same place. Like,
it almost makes me feel like we were crazy to not
Zoom.
I literally got on the subway, went to your home apartment, could have kidnapped you.
Could have. You went somewhere after, or was it the second time? The second?
Yeah, I always. The city is. I mean, I've been in West Hampton, and I went to the city once, and I was like, did one of those things where I had to be somewhere, but I also wanted to order food. Then I was like, if I order food there and I call an Uber, would I get there in time? And I was like, wow, I've just dealt with more anxiety than I've dealt in months in West Hampton.
No, you're very frazzled when you're in New York. You're like, I gotta be here. Gotta go there. I'm taking a cab here. I have dinner with my parents. But first, I'm gonna go to this.
And then, like, when you're more stressed, you make the worst decisions. Like, I've been on subways running late and then, like, convinced myself that I'm going the wrong direction, just hop off the subway, realize I was going the right direction. Now I can't get on the right subway. Then I get on an express, miss that stop. Like, that shit happens to me every day.
Why would we, like, I remember when you wanted to have me on your podcast, you were doing it at the Spotify headquarters.
Oh, yeah. You had to go all the way.
I was like,
downtown.
No, fuck you.
Fucking Staten Island.
Well, I am glad it worked out that you and I were in the same place, right? But like, I had Kim Kardashian's makeup artist, Chris Appleton, mm-hmm. in my mm-hmm. home. You know, that didn't have to happen. You know, that was a little.
Yeah, I went all the way to LA to go on Danny Pellegrino's podcast.
How pathetic.
I went to LA. I like wanted an excuse to go to LA for the first time. So I just booked like a ton of podcasts. Like, well, I have to go to LA if I want to be on Danny Pellegrino's.
Oh my God. That's so, but we had this, we had Zoom, we had these things existed, but we didn't use them in these ways.
But I'm going to tell you, it's not like the same energy when it's a new person. Like when it's a new person, I feel like when you get to like get them settled. Mm. Do you need some water? You have a little pre-talk.
Yeah.
We're like with Zoom, sometimes it's like, hey, what's up? Like, you ready to do a pod with me? And you have to like, especially Burning in Hell, it's super deep. And I feel like I need to, in the beginning, have them just feel comfortable with me. And it's harder over Zoom.
But do you rather interview people you know or don't know?
I rather interview people I know.
So that's the thing. Like with me, that's what we're talking about pitching guests before. It's like, if I want to interview someone, like right now we're our own people, right? We're freelancers, yeah, or whatever. So I'm not working at E! News having to interview this actor and need to learn about them. Yeah. Like I'm doing my own thing, so I can
choose. But those are also so informal, those E! News interviews. Right. They could be asking a fucking brick wall.
Right.
And the brick wall is going to give very stereotypical media trained answers.
Right.
It's a like business exchange to get 2 minutes of television.
Right.
Where this is hour long, in-depth, like emotional discussions we're getting at. And you're like blunt in your interviews. Like if people don't get your humor, I feel like they could be like, what the fuck was that?
You think? Really?
No, well, you could be like very sarcastic.
Have you been reading my negative podcast reviews, Hannah?
Okay.
I feel like you've been reading them.
Let me say something about podcast reviews, because by the time this comes out, I'm probably going to have a shit ton of bad ones. Just because I feel like, imagine if people as humans had Yelp reviews. Like people are literally rating us as humans. Like someone was like, I hate that Hannah always talks about that she's from Brooklyn, she plays tennis. It's like, bitch, that's who I am. I get 2 stars for who I am. Then
Hannah,
like, why I can't change it for you?
Hannah.
What?
Listen. Someone wrote about me. First of all, you guys, I want to say this, and I've said it before, and now I live my life in fear of people saying bad things about me, but I feel like
you can't,
if you heard me say this before, you're going to be like, you already said that, but I'm going to say it again, even if you heard it elsewhere, is this.
I don't care.
And this sounds super like Hollywood celeb annoying that I'm not, but I'm whatever. My point is, no matter what, we're conditioned in our brains to always go to the negative. So I can get a million messages a day. I love you. Thank you for making me laugh. Thank you. Da, da, da. And it's amazing. At the moment, you're like, oh, like excited TikTok emotional emoji. But what stays in your head, the word for word that you just said, word for word, Brooklyn and tennis, that's only if it's negative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
but it's also, think of like Selena Gomez, like how much hate that bitch gets. Because that's just the more famous you get,
the more people hate you
right. Because that's what, when you become a public figure, you become entertainment for people, and people taking you down and being able to judge you and not having any repercussions is like what brings people joy. Oh, I just found a good one.
Wait,
it said unsubscribe.
Wait, listen to the one I wanted to tell you first.
Oh yeah,
over
sorry.
My interview.
Sorry, ready I apologize. Go. I apologize.
Okay, because I remember it's memorized in my brain. I have to say,
just like take a little longer to do it. We have a ton of time.
No,
take your time.
You don't understand. Okay,
5-minute lead-in for this. It better be good.
Okay, this wasn't a podcast review. This is somebody sent me from a private Facebook group where this was a post about how much I suck. So one of the comments was, "If I have to see her up close face in a video one more time saying vibe, I will chuck my phone in the Mediterranean Sea."
But see, there's Mediterranean Sea.
I'm like,
where are they
hello?
Living? It sounds amazing.
Show off.
Okay. Okay, South of France.
Like, that makes me more annoyed. Like, if she was American, I'd be like, okay, fucking bitch. But what is she like? Hilaria?
She's
Spanish?
You know that. Well, I do think that you have to understand that some people love your face up close saying it's a vibe. And then for other reason, it might trigger them, remind them of their like little cousin.
I would hate me.
Wait, can I tell you what my bad review
was?
Yeah,
I'm sure you have like one. You don't get a lot of bad shit.
What?
Okay.
I mean, well, no, I just think it's funny when... Oh, wait, this one like went in.
Oh, my God. Tell me.
Hannah's not as funny as she thinks she is. Going for saying someone's not funny is always funny. But I also think it's funny that they think I think I'm funny. Anyway. She tries way too hard. People love saying I try too hard.
Really?
And it's like, yeah, I'm trying hard to make people laugh. I'll go fuck myself.
Yeah.
She tries to use a sexy voice on this podcast that just isn't. Well, thank you for thinking
you
my
do?
Voice
okay,
is sexy.
Okay, first of all of that is wrong. You don't try to have a sexy voice.
You're not as relevant as you think you are. Did I say I was relevant? bitch, I'm afraid every day that like that just like I'm gonna lose all everything.
You guys, is this voice sexy to you?
The fame went straight to is this sexy to you? The fame went straight to your head. You need a reality check. This you're quite disgusting too. Also, they use the wrong "your," which makes me happy.
Yeah.
You have the typical millennial mentality that gives the rest of us millennials a bad name. What does that mean? Also, my boyfriend would get mad and he'd be like, "Why'd you read that? That's what they want. They want the attention."
So, okay. So Desi is right. And I have to stop myself so many times. First of all, like you were saying before, nor I nor you, which is probably not correct grammar, are affected by this like negative, like, yeah, we'll get a little bit of, but obviously there are people that get much more hate and deal with much more negative shit. And it comes with the territory to have a little bit of, you know, you get some love, you get some hate. But Des is so right, because my first instinct when I saw the Mediterranean Sea thing, I was like, that's kind of a vibe. Like, I was kind of into that negative. I was like, the face up close made me really.
I mean, it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. Like, at least be funny about it, you know?
Yeah, like, people say I should brush my hair more, and I literally, like, liked one. And I was like, my mom just said the same thing, like, watching Summer House. So sometimes, like, but the thing is, you just can't engage. And I really don't get affected by a lot of them. The only thing that pisses me off is when I watch Summer House and people see a snippet of something, and then people love to see what they want to see, so they will connect A to B to C to be like, wait, if Hannah did this, that means she's this type of person. And then like you get that kind of hate where it's like, and it's also the same people, if I'll respond to one thing and be like, you're completely correct about this, like, I apologize, people are like, fuck yeah. It's just sometimes people just want to be heard.
And you know what, if you give them a finger, like, the Mediterranean Sea thing I thought was funny. So I put it up. I was like, oh my God, this is so funny. Now, a few things happen from that. A, there are people that they're going to think I'm fishing. No, Amanda, you're so amazing. We love your up close face and your vibe. And like, I don't want to be fishing for compliments. And the second thing is, which happened, I deleted it pretty quickly because I was like, I don't want that energy. Some people thought it was like a question box of like, what else bothers you about me? So I got a DM being like, and also, when you say Lordy, it's really offensive. Because, you know, I call Justin Bieber Lordy. That he's like getting too Lordy, like too into the Lord.
Wait, that's offensive to lords?
To people that love the Lord.
Oh, the Lord. I thought you just meant like a Lord.
I see. Like, people don't even get me. So you're hating me on something you don't get? Like, I'm saying.
Well, that's the thing. They get what they want to get.
Right.
We have to remember, a lot of the people listening are like, guys, shut the fuck up. Just because like they don't, we are putting ourselves out there and this is like a part of the game.
Right.
Where like they're not getting random DMs because they're like living their life like sane people. They, for whatever reason, don't need to get as much attention as we need to.
That's exactly it. But it is, I think that people need to sometimes, even if you're a publicer person, try not to project. Take a minute. Be like, did this person mean this? Or am I putting my own feelings into it? You know, if I'm saying, oh my God, Gigi Hadid is walking around without a nanny. A person at home with a nanny is going, what's wrong with a nanny?
Yes.
I didn't say anything was wrong with a nanny, bitch.
Yes.
At all. Yes. I want 10 nannies. Now, I can't be disclaiming every single thing I say, being like, by the way, nannies are fine. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you need to, like, live your life.
Because also, what made you popular was you being you. You guys, so, not skinny but not fat, her Insta stories are just fire. Like,
shut up.
It's literally, fire. Like, fucking vibe. A fucking vibe. Like, laying in the Mediterranean Sea. Sorry, I can't talk because my Invisalign.
Wait, you're with it now?
No, I took them out for this, but then you like forget how your teeth work. It's a journey. I'm on a fucking transformation journey. But I do think that it's what makes you you, and your Insta stories are so unfiltered. And I hate to be like, oh, she's so unfiltered. But if you had to think before you said all your thoughts and also things that are funny are slightly offensive because it means you're calling someone out on like something that's honest and true that people are afraid to say, which is one form of comedy.
And you know what, Hannah? If I was smart, I probably wouldn't. Because imagine if you take a second, you're like, wait, would Gigi take this the wrong way if she saw this? You know, like, would she care? Because you come from a place of like, they won't see that. And like, social media is crazy. Like, yeah. You can get to people. You don't know who's seeing your shit.
No. Well, you're that friend who is saying what everyone else might be thinking, or you're more creative and funny to think of things they couldn't think of about a situation. Like, when Hilaria happened, I had to look at what you were saying because I wanted to hear what it was going to be. And if you filtered it, then it would be like me fucking talking to, you know, someone who doesn't care.
And, like, I love Hilaria. And that's what's so funny is, like, people... like people were like, go to Not Skinny But Not Fat for all the late. I was like, Not Skinny But Not Fat is just like talking about what's happening.
Wait, do you actually love Hilaria?
I have mixed feelings.
It's saying now that Alec Baldwin and her aren't living in the same house.
The news, like,
but, or was it a quarantine thing? Like, he works in the city. They're like twisting.
That's the thing. 2021, they're twisting it. 2021 news is like a. Like, the way the Armie Hammer stuff is coming out, but it's all, like, old. It's like, okay, now it's all coming up, but it's, like, old stuff. And then with Hilaria, all these years she's been doing the accent, but it's only surfaced now. And now they're trying to make the Alec Baldwin thing seem. But he talked about in an interview weeks ago or, like, a month ago that he had another place to quarantine because...
As a pop culture expert, why do you think the news cycle is being like this right now? Are they, like, just, like, grasping?
First of all, listen, Daily Mail, The Sun, that kind of shit, we all know it's, like, not... But but even with the... What else was I obsessing over? Olivia, Harry Styles, and Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yeah.
That was wild to me. because I knew from an inside source. Because of a DM? No, I knew from an inside...
Someone who works with them?
I have friends in high places. I knew you. I do. Listen, I'm not Des Moines, okay? I'm not getting DMs being like people sometimes confuse. They're like, Anan. I'm like, listen, bitch. Like, I'm not Des Moines. Like, I'm not, but I'll post what you said because it's interesting, but I'm not Des Moines. But my point is, I wouldn't post something someone said to be true. When I said I know that Olivia Wilde fell in love with Harry Styles on the set of the movie, broke up with Jason. Jason Sudeikis is heartbroken, is like, whatever. And I knew that Olivia Wilde and her PR team laid it out so that the timeline would make sense for her story. I was saying it, but I didn't want to, like, my source. Oh, my God.
Yes, I'm like, you don't want to lose your source.
No, I promised her. Him. I was like, can I say it? And they were like, yeah, but just make sure we're not attached to it. So I was like, okay. And I think for me trying to figure out a way to say it and not have them kind of whatever made me sound so confusing that people were like, what? So I shouldn't, that shouldn't be my job, like what I was saying. But to your question, I think
I forgot what my question was.
If I think the news is laying it out, like,
oh, yeah.
So I think quarantine and this fucking life has made us so bored and so crazy that because like this shit, right? I would have just accepted it before. I'd been like, ship Olivia. Yeah. Woo-hoo. Like, what a hot couple. Now I'm like, how'd they get together? Yep. I'm like going crazy. And then
you're fucking nailing it right now. I mean, I think about the Hilaria thing. If that happened while we were actually working a normal life, no one would have the time to be like, let's make fun of this bitch.
Right.
But immediately I was on, because we're all just stuck
people
on our phone.
People were waiting for it. It's like people were like, give us something. Like,
and everyone is giving the same kind of content, just being like, this is hilarious. She said this, she said that.
And Hilaria Baldwin. We're not talking about Britney Spears.
If you have the time to read a Reddit thread about a celebrity that you've never really heard of or cared about before, you are fucked up in quarantine. And we all are.
You're so right. And everyone made a video about it. You did. I did. I did. Every comedian did. And everyone's like, ha, 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 ha. That's the fun.
And then we all made memes about how obsessed we were that we couldn't stop talking about it. So there was a second wave.
You're so right. But also,
with the pandemic and then with the rioting, I know that it's just been a terrible week. But speaking of, like, talking shit about people, now that you are a mother, do you feel like you are going to change the way you talk shit on people, or has it enhanced it, or has it just changed your mindset at all about your career?
No. I'm the same dumb bitch that I hoped and knew I would be, honestly.
Okay, we are about to discuss motherhood a bit, because I have not had a lot of mothers on this podcast because my friends are babies themselves.
I know, you need to grow up.
Not responsible. However, I'm going to just tell you a quick story, and then we're going to segue into some intense questions to you. So I've been fostering dogs. It's like my new passion in life. I work with Southampton Animal Shelter. We've been fostering these, they're called pot cake dogs. They're these dogs in the Caribbean that are so gorgeous and so cute. And they get fed from like the rice at the bottom of the pot. They like, they give it to them. Anyway, they just like live these short lives. They get sick and they're just these like street dogs. So when they get rescued, they're fucking scared shitless of people. They don't even know what a house is. They're just like these rabid animals. And we socialize them. So I took in this first one, Nutella. She was amazing. We got her adopted. It felt amazing. They're like these like challenges that I want to help just by like loving them a lot. So then we got this other dog, Tum Tum, who was incredible, and she really bonded to us, and we got her a family, and she's doing great. Then the adoption center was like, you guys are doing amazing at fostering. We're gonna give you the hardest challenge. This girl Nina, who is, it's been a month and she's still like is so scared. So 2 weeks go by and she's starting to do well, and I'm like, let's take her to Southampton. And I'm walking her around Southampton Village, which sounds so pretentious.
Out west, but I was like, out
is,
east.
I was like, this is better than the street, right? Like, these dogs are not, they're about to be adopted in the Hamptons. And her leash gets kind of caught on this wooden stake, and the leash falls out of my hand for a second. And these dogs are just taught, like, when they're scared, to run. She runs all through Southampton Village past like 10 people. Like, Dez is chasing her. You're like, not really supposed to chase her, but you don't want to lose her. And we call the shelter immediately, and we're like, we're so sorry. Like, we have to take action. They send their people. Southampton was amazing. We found her at nighttime and she's good. But like, we went through so many emotions. It was like, and I turned to Dez and he looked at me and he goes, and this is why we're not having kids anytime soon. And I was like, yeah, but our kid would not run that fast.
Wait, did that offend you or no?
He was joking. Because
it wasn't your fault.
The shelter has been amazing, because at first we were like, oh no, we're going to get blacklisted. This is like something I love to do. And like, we did the worst thing you could possibly do is lose the dog. But they were like, apparently a bunch of them have escaped from fosters. It's just like how they are. And they were like, it could happen to anyone. No dog should sprint away just by dropping the leash for a second, you know? So, but I definitely learned from it. It was hard. But long story short, I do want to have kids, but I've never thought about it, really. And we were joking. Like, doesn't, like, I looked at him and I was like, so now you're sure you don't? But anyway, did you want to have a child?
Yeah.
Like, for how long?
No, not for a long. Basically, I was very delayed as opposed to my friends, because my husband is Israeli and we got married in Israel and our friends are like from there. It's quicker there. Like, people get married and have babies, blah, blah, blah. In New York, it's like not like that. But anyway, I wasn't even too like, wow, propose to me. Like, I knew I was going to marry my husband. So I didn't really even care when he was going to propose. He'd propose, we got married, fine. That didn't mean I was like ready to have kids. And then for years he was like, so, like, and I would always be like, no, not yet, blah, blah, blah. And then...
What was your reason to, like, not want it?
I literally felt like you just... I know it's so lame to be like, you know, but it just, like, was, like, not an option. It's not like, ooh, maybe 10% want to, 90% don't. It was like, I know I want kids. I don't want it now at all. Like,
because I think there's a lot of... There's a lot of people listening that either want a kid, had a kid, or don't want a kid. And, like, it's interesting that you've been through that.
Yeah.
Because I'm the kind of person, I'm actually pretty traditional where it's like, yeah, I want a family, I want a kid. But then I don't want it now. And I'm like, so I hope I get the craving soon. But like, you'll know.
Yeah, so you will. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you're 28 now?
29.
Babe.
Who's counting?
Aging.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Oh my God, it's a lot. So legit, like, didn't want, like, what do you mean didn't want? Again, you can know that you want things later in life. Like, there was...
Well, no, I know I want it, but I just feel like if the pandemic's over and I start traveling, like, I don't want the kid to, like, hold me back.
So listen, this is crazy, and I'll jump. So I'll say, knew I wanted it, but knew that like I'm doing it whenever I want. I'm not being mm-hmm. pressured by husband telling me so-and-so is on their second kid. No, mm-hmm. when I'm ready. And also, you know me, I have anxiety. Yep. So if mm-hmm. let's say I was having a tough year anxiety wise, I'm not going to fucking deal with pregnancy now. So I'd put it off for longer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. finally, I think it was last year, I was doing pretty okay anxiety wise. We had a trip planned to Israel. He asked me about it again, one of our like walks with the dog. And I was like, you know what? Let's go to Israel. And he's in my state of mind. So we wanted to have fun in Israel and like drink and whatever.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, so when we get back from Israel. And I was like, yeah. And then like I held
he's
to
so
it.
Cute.
I held to it. And then
yeah.
I was lucky in the sense that we got back from Israel. We did it. And I think the first month I got my period and then the second month I didn't get my period. And I remember the first wow. thing I thought was like, first of all, when I saw the stick was like, you don't know how your body is. Like, I never got knocked up by mistake. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Yes,
how.
You're not like, oh, it's that feeling.
Like, I didn't know I was fertile. I didn't know if it was going to take months.
Any feeling I get, I'm like, oh, does that mean I'm pregnant?
Yeah, I didn't get a stomach ache. And you also don't know, like, oh, I'm super fertile. I forgot my pill once and I had to get an abortion. Like, I never had scares. I never had yeah. anything.
Whenever like one boob hurts, I'm like, I'm pregnant. And it's like you punch yourself in the boob, bitch. Calm down.
See, but then you think this all the time. But when you want to get pregnant, you won't know. So
did you like wait for the day you ovulate?
So that's the thing. This is what annoys me. I hate when people pretend like they're like, and it just happened. Like, no, bitch,
it's not romantic like that.
It's, I mean, it's not mechanical, but it's like we decided we're ready to have a baby. So I'm a very organized person. I look in my app. I'm not gonna have sex with you 30 days out of the month. Are you fucking kidding?
No, but that's just not how science works. I have the Flow app.
So that's the app I use too anyway for my cool. period. So that was the yeah. app I had to log my period, and my period was very on time. So I looked at the app. I was like, when am I getting my period? And then it says like days of ovulation. So on those days, we did it. So what annoys me is people being like, and then it just like, like, you know, you looked at the days you're ovulating. Okay, enough.
I was talking about in terms of engagements, like I was thinking about it and how movies literally make it like one day he just comes up with this perfect ring that you could never have envisioned that beautiful. And you're so surprised and there just happens to be a photographer. Like, bitch, it did not look like that ever. It was not like that. That's not what happened. But I don't want to switch to engagements because we're talking about babies here, which are like next level.
Oh, someone's talking about engagements, bitch.
Okay.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Also, you are like not skinny but not fat.
But I'm really hot, yeah.
How did your relationship with your body change?
Wait, I wanted to answer your previous question. I really believe, you're like, what was it? I really believe.
I don't remember.
I was scared like you. I was a selfish ass bitch. Yes. And my husband would tell me, like, you're thinking the wrong way. Because I would be like, but what about me and the fact that I haven't, like, made all my dreams come true? Because it's a valid question, you know?
Yeah.
Should you wait until you've achieved everything you've ever wanted, which you don't know what that is? Or will it not stop you? Like, you don't know. And let me tell you, In Judaism, I don't know if in all religions it's like that. Like, mm-hmm. we do believe that babies are like a blessing, you know, like babies are a blessing. It's life. It's a blessing, like whatever. So I had to always tell myself, like, it's a blessing. And then, like, literally, knock on wood, like, when Noah came, things have even gotten crazier, better for me. You know what I mean? And it's so wild because I was just talking about... Like, I'm just saying, like, just everything got more.
Are you more focused?
No, I literally feel like it's like just good things kind of happened. Yeah. You know how this industry is, like, things kind of happen. Yeah. So it's like he came.
You can't plan it.
You can't.
I do feel there's a sense of, like, I always tell people, like, you will make it work. I'm like, quit your job, bitch. You will make it work. Also. And that's how I feel like it is with kids. Like, you can't not have a baby as a woman because you're like, well, then all my dreams die. Like, this is 2021.
It's not true.
And I feel like you fucking figure it out But it's like way harder than a dog, right?
So yeah, no comparison there. I used to do the same thing. I'm like, but my dog. And like, really, if anyone had murdered me, like I would have deserved it, because I said that so many times. And I would like put,
I mean, I'm a cat mom and I know that cats are like, babe, so fucking easy.
And more than that, like I also like judge people who are like not as nice to their dog, and I'm not as nice to my dog. I'm like, stop, Leo. Ew, get away. Like, I'm like, I'm mean to
You're
Leo.
You're so annoying.
I'm like, stop. The baby, though, is here. So you can't. It's really crazy because it's nothing like a freaking dog. Like, it's nothing.
I'm glad that we settled that because there was some confusion, but now we know. Your Instagram, Not Skinny But Not Fat, is such an amazing name. But, like, you've gotten hate for the name. You've had to, because anything with body image triggers people.
Fat Phobank. I hate the name now. I'm like, ugh, couldn't I have called myself Amanda Hirsch?
But how has your relationship with your body changed? Being pregnant, seeing your body as a vessel for life, now postpartum body. What's going on with your mental state and relationship with your skin?
I have to say it's pretty healthy. I'm kind of now, no one's asked me that yet, Hannah. So I have to say that I'm shocked to say that it's like a healthy, first of all, every person has their own relationship with their body and can take, you can say, you can, whatever. My point is, when I was pregnant, for me, it helped to be like, I want to gain this amount of weight. I'm a very like in my head, I was like, I want to make sure that I don't gain more than 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. And my sister, who gained like 1,000 pounds, would always hate me. She's like, Amanda, you're raising a baby in your belly. Like, I'm like, that doesn't mean I have to get like super duper fat. I can get like a little. So every person can do whatever they want. You want to let it all go, let it all go. I wanted to like know where I'm at. I still weighed in every week, and I wanted to gain, like, I looked at like there was like a chart, so I wanted to gain like the end. It was like at my weight between 25 and 35 pounds. So I was like, okay, I want to gain.
Did you have any weird unhealthy cravings?
No, but I did eat things you're not supposed to eat because I'm so chill and cool.
Like what?
There's so many things to worry about. And then they're like, you can't eat deli meat. I'm like, I have bigger fish to fry. Okay, like, I'm going to eat deli meat. And then it's like, you can't eat hummus because Listeria. And I'm like, literally world hunger. I'm going to eat hummus. Like, there are too many stupid things that when you realize how many fears go into being pregnant, having a baby, you think I'm scared of fucking turkey? I'm going to eat turkey. Well,
it's also like, I'm pretty sure 200 years ago, people, well, there probably wasn't.
Yeah, no, my mom would say that. My mom would say that. She's like,
but 50 years ago, they were like eating whatever they needed to eat to make sure there was enough nutrients.
My mom was like, pasteurized, like, I never had to like worry about that, so it's like bullshit. So I was pretty lenient on that, so I had no cravings because I ate whatever I wanted.
How was your anxiety?
Well, I was on Zoloft still. A lot of people asked me about it, so I'll say it here. I did my own research, and by my doctors it was allowed. Like, and the thing is with being pregnant, they can't do studies on pregnant people, right? With drugs.
Actually, that's such a good point. I never thought of that.
But from studies that they did do, like SSRIs, I think, are like the safest. And every psychiatrist, psychologist, doctor will tell you everything is benefit against risk, right? So if there's the risk of Hannah falling into a deep depression, not on medication and being pregnant, or there is a tiny, tiny, tiny risk of some tiny thing that probably won't happen to the baby, but healthy mom. So they always say like healthy mom. So I kept on my Zoloft, and thank God Noah came out healthy and fine. And it was all like approved by my doctors. Check it out for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But
did you ever think, I want to try to get off this?
I did, babe. I failed miserably.
What happened?
I relapsed. That sounds like so intense. But actually what happened was, at first I did tell my husband, I was like, I want to have a baby like without being on medication, which I now regret. Why? Because I felt so amazing on medication that I was like, I can get off medication and not take the risk. But
how long had you been on it?
For a few years.
Yeah.
So then I went off of it. I was good for a while. And then I started getting bad anxiety again. But what I did with myself prior to getting off of it was this. I said, Amanda, you are not suffering again. You're trying to go off it. If you feel not good. You're not giving it a day, a month, a year. You're giving it 5 seconds and saying, nope, not work. It's not, my relationship with taking medication became healthy. When I got on it at the beginning, I'd curse it. I'd see the fucking bottle and be like, I hate that you depend on this. I hate that you fucking need this. Now I'm like, come, come hither, my little lovey buggy. Because if you feel good, fuck it.
But it also, it's enabling you to be your true self without some of these like terrible anxious chemicals and cortisol that is literally inhibiting you from being happy.
Exactly. So listen, at the end of the day, I go with what people say, which is, do you have diabetes? You need to insulin. Do you have headaches? You need a migraine medication. You have anxiety. You have depression. You have whatever. Taking it like normalize medication. No, but really, like it should be. I talk about this whenever I'm asked about it, because for me, as lame as this sounds, when I took medication the first time, which was like 2010, no one was talking about it. I was so ashamed. Now when I see like celebrities talk about it, it still gets me excited. I'm like, oh my God, Kristen Bell is on it. Oh my God, Amanda Seyfried stayed on Lexapro pregnant. Like, I love seeing that because it makes me, Amy Schumer, everyone's on fucking medication. And it makes you feel a little bit more normal where you're like, everyone's dealing with shit.
Well, it's so funny because I said it on Summer House that I was on something. And like literally no one said shit because I think so many people are on something. Everyone's like, oh, what is that? Oh, Paxil, I've done that. And I don't know. I'm going to bring up tennis just to piss that one person off. But I had so much bad anxiety one season because I was like not getting along with my coach and I was getting all this pressure to like to stay in this number one spot that I literally lost my second serve. Like, I psyched myself out. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen to me? I'm like, I can't hit my second serve. And then it literally started happening. Like, I shanked every second serve. I was serving underhand in Division I tennis. And I went on Paxil. And within 2 months, I got my serve back.
Oh, my God.
So it's like, I don't know. Like, it's not fucking, it's real. It was that, like, these thoughts were inhibiting me from playing the way I just normally play. But my question to you is, now that you've become a mom, like, do you have some kind of like mantra, like affirmation or goal that you are as a parent? Like, I feel like I don't really know about parenting, but like, do you have a goal for your kid? As in, I'm not saying like, oh, I want him to be a soccer player, but more like your parenting style.
I really, really believe that all a kid needs is like unconditional love. Like, that's what I got. Aww. And even though I was raised by a single mom and a fucked up dad, I'm not fucked up. I just talked about being on medication. I'm really, no, I mean, like, you would think like with a fucked up dad, whatever.
Well, you're able to love.
That's what's most important. I have healthy relationships. I wasn't like, I didn't have daddy issues in that like weird way.
Okay, you don't have to attack people. You don't have to attack.
Usually, that's what I'm saying. Usually bitches with like, good dads are more fucked up than with bad dads. You know
what
I mean?
True, because they're like, wait, there's bad guys out there.
Right, right, exactly. I'm like, everyone's bad. Okay, you're good.
I'm dating an older guy who's 44, and people are like, do you have daddy issues? I'm like, I'm not 20 dating a 60-year-old. Yeah. First of all, I'm 29. My eggs are almost dying. And like, he's just experienced in life.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to fuck my dad. I don't have daddy issues dating a 44-year-old. Even though my dad is closer in age to him, but it's not the point.
Oh my God, stop, really?
My dad's 57. Yeah, my mom's like 55.
Your parents are young.
I know, they like talk about the 80s together. It's so annoying.
Oh my God, that is wild.
But it's great because I could just like leave him in the room and I like go and like,
he's probably good with parents because, yeah. Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, they're like friends.
Oh my God, that is cray cray.
They like make fun of me. Which I love. That's how we show affection.
Unconditional love. I really do believe that. And I feel like...
Okay, are you like Miss Universe right now?
And world
peace. I want world peace.
No, because A, you don't have to be super smart. You don't have to be super responsible. You just have to love that baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you feel pressure for the baby to be like, compared to your friends' babies, like as smart or like athletic?
Oh my God, no. My baby's so much better than everyone's baby. That's why I want to see Gigi's baby so I can prove to Gigi that Noah's better than Gigi's.
Isn't that what like keeping up with the Jeffersons or whatever is like, everyone, like, do you feel pressure to like get your baby into like math classes or something. Like,
no, Hannah.
I don't know. I'm just like trying to think of like the New York City parent mentality.
Oh my God. Because you're trying to think, because you were pressured into like being an athlete and you're going to project it on your baby.
Yeah. When I was like 1 year old, I know I don't want to. I literally think
that's why you're asking. That's my, what you're doing right now. I know. Now. You're I'm projecting
onto you.
Don't project.
I'm nervous. No. Because I don't want to do that to my baby. But then it's like cut to like my baby doing like gymnastics at two and me like starting Instagram for it. Oh my God. I don't want to do that. But then part of me is like, my baby's going to be so fucking good.
No, but you know what I would want to do? And I do believe this. And again, this is a personal thing. I would want to direct my baby because I feel like you need direction. And I feel like for me.
Direct it in what way? Like a play?
No. No, like if your dad saw your athletic ability in tennis and directed you, I don't think that's a bad thing. You know what I mean?
I love what you're saying because it reminds me of a documentary I watched about blind guide dogs. You know, like when you see a blind person, they have the dog next to them and the dog guides them. So those dogs go through like really intense training to get there. But they go through rounds where like some dogs will get cut in the training program because they're just not meant to be a guide dog. Like some dogs love organization and they love structure and they love helping. And some dogs are like, I want to be silly and crazy.
You became like such a dog freak. From being a cat woman. What happened?
You guys, everyone watch Pitbulls and Parolees. I love Pitbulls. I want Pitbulls so bad. But we still love Butter and cats. I want a cat and a Pitbull to take a nap together and my life will be complete. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, I'm not telling you how to parent, but in general, I feel like you want to find what your kid naturally wants to do and what makes them happy and then guide them.
Like, I wish my mom nurtured the part of me that is now that I created for myself. Like, I didn't need her, but I did. I went to study marketing and do all this shit because for like my mom. But I said for my kid, I feel like we're going to be at more progressive times where we're not going to force them to go to college for like English or something dumb. It's like, no, let's find what you're good at. No one should have to pay for, no one should have that major. Okay. If you if your parents paid $45,000 for you to study English, it's like me studying communications. Like it's
not. Unless they want to be an author.
Unless
they want to be an author. But I do think it's like, you can try to make your kid be an athlete. And it's like someone asked this famous like comic, fuck, I forget her name, but they were like, can you teach sense of humor? And she was like, yes, the same way you teach height. And it's like, you can't. So it's the same way where it's like, if you see your kids fucking funny and it's like, okay, like you can play soccer and you could get better at it, but you're never going to be great.
Right.
But put them towards comedy or something, or put them towards.
The question is, what's the line between being like a stage parent and a pushy parent, or a parent that is like delusional about their kids, you know? Whatever talent. I just think you should see what your child is good at, and I think it's okay to help direct them in a way that makes sense, that you don't have to at 18 we're so fucking stupid when we're deciding what to go study in college, you know what I mean? And if we were given a few more years and actually did what we wanted to do, but at the end of the day we end up figuring it out anyway, you know what I mean?
I love that. And also I'm a little crazy because I was like put into tennis. I'm like, what's your kid's thing? But it's also like, loving your kids should not be attached with their accomplishments, and also like,
but also
their ego should not be connected to like what they're accomplishing as well. But sometimes it naturally, they'll love to do something.
Was your dad a stage dad?
Oh yeah, he was. I mean, he was like so entrenched in it with me. Like it was like we're very similar, so he was just kind of living.
Is he a stage dad now with you? Like, is
oh God, no, no, he's the fucking best. Like, he can just sit back and enjoy, and then like close his ears sometimes. But like people are like, oh, are your parents okay with this? I'm like, they made me. I'm a creation from them. Like, my dad's hilarious, and my mom is like very like business savvy and hardworking.
What do you mean okay with what? When you're being dirty?
Like me having sex on television.
Oh my God, how were they with that?
I mean, my dad like loves watching Summer House. Like, he pretends he doesn't, but he'll be like, wait, episode's over? What happens next time?
But I feel like, and can't you just tell him like, no, dad, like, wait, when they use your moaning.
Yeah. I literally just yelled, la, 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 la. And he's like, I can't hear the TV. Like, he didn't know what was happening. And I'm like, you don't want to hear it. And my mom's laughing. Like, we just laugh at everything.
That's amazing.
To be honest. But I do think that I learned from him. People will tell me like, oh, this kid is 10 years old and they're such a good golfer. Like, do you have any advice for them? And I'll, just because I was in sports, and I go, yeah, you can't decide that this person's going to be amazing because, you know, puberty's going to hit. Are they going to choose this over parties? Then, you know, their own mental state of them, is this fun for them to keep doing it their whole life? Any 10-year-old could be great at something, but it's them actually loving it because they have to choose to go to practice. You can't make them.
Right.
So when I hear a kid is good at like 10 years old, it's like, make sure they keep loving it. Don't be like, oh, send them to Florida to an academy to get burnt out by 12.
Right.
So anyway, that's my 2 cents. Well, how this turned to me telling people how to parent their children, I don't know. But you're enabling it.
I'm trying to imagine you as a mom.
Oh, well,
it's cute. It's fun to be cute, you know? Like, I sometimes think about myself and I'm like, I'm so, like, how cute.
Have you seen a different side?
It hates me now.
Have you seen? No, just the people. Actually, yeah, a lot of people hate you. But like, how has Husb changed since having the kid? Like, have you seen different sides of him?
He's seen different sides of me. No, not my, like, vagina.
Oh, I was about to say, did you poop when you
No,
had it?
But you basically pooped the baby out. Like, let
Did you
nobody...
orgasm?
No. I don't know what kind of wacky doulas are saying this to people, but, like, they're crazy. Oh, because you were asking about my body, too. Oh, my God. You're so... Oh, my God. Hannah. What's wrong with you? What was it? Oh,
don't take it out on me that you can't keep up.
Yeah, that's right.
I drink coffee before this.
If I seen a difference out of him, the thing is, let me tell you this. Men, at the beginning, this is what happens. You poop out the baby. They give you the baby. You're the mom. 2 seconds later, you have nurses in your room putting the baby on your boob, being like, this is how they latch, and here's the baby. And that night, you sleep with the baby in the room at the hospital. And you're like given the baby. Like, it's basically as if you're like, I'm allowed to like own it. Like, it feels weird. So as the mom, I don't know, it is like an instinct. Like, you take over, you do what you have to do. Because the guy is a little more detached because he wasn't having the baby in his belly. He wasn't whatever. Yeah. They're kind of like in shock for much longer than you are. Like, I feel like the first month, I feel like the image of him was just like standing behind us. Like, I was changing him. He was like standing. I was almost like, is this what it's going to be? Like, what the fuck? And then everyone told me like, it takes guys time for so many reasons. Like I said, they're not the ones. You went through 9 months of having it in your belly and knowing
like that. Feeling it kicking.
Exactly. So you're much more attached to it. And then again, you feed them. You're in charge of them living. So the guys are always more like in shock and detached. So it took him like a month to like real. So I wanted to murder him in that time. And
because he was just shocked.
Because he was. Yeah, because they're like kind of.
They don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do. And you're like, I don't know what to do, but I have to do it. You know what I mean? So
yeah, it's like your instincts take over.
Your instincts take over and theirs don't. Like, they literally say, like, for instance, I'm not recommending this, but that a mom could like fall asleep with their baby on her because you would never, your instincts are so sharp with your baby that can't fall. But like, the dad can't do that because he'll roll over on the baby. Like, he doesn't have the instincts that you naturally have for that baby. What I'm saying is we should all have just been lesbians and like raised babies with women, because I don't know what to tell
you. Is he getting better now?
Yes, he's definitely getting better. Oh my God. So amazingly better. But not as good as me.
Of course not.
No.
But is it hot seeing him be like sexy dad?
No.
Like, you see him holding the baby, you're like, oh my God.
No.
Do you guys have more or less sex than before?
Less. And also, I'm shook that he thought that he would like be getting sex. Like, I'm literally like, I pushed the baby out of there. Like, you're shocked. You're like, you would, like, they don't care. Guys don't fucking care. Like, on one hand, you think it's cute. You're like, oh, you think I'm still sexy. But like, no, they just don't care. They don't care that your vagina hole is just like birds of baby. They don't care that I still have like a dark line in the middle of my stomach. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's cute that they don't care, because you're like, oh, you think I'm so hot. Or are you just a dude and dudes are just like horny all the time?
Yeah, they'll have
sex
with a fucking peach.
I don't know what he thinks. Like, I have 2 hours to sleep. I do not have time for this. And I don't care what anyone says.
Does he ever wake up like middle of the night to get the baby? Or does the baby wake up?
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God, the baby. Hannah. The baby wakes up so much. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard. You have to have a really solid foundation having a baby with someone, because even if you do, and husband and I are like, we're like, we were born and raised. That's how we feel. Like, we're so connected. And it's still, it takes a toll, because another element is brought into your lives. Yeah. Think about Husb. He's used to me like, he's like, oh, like rub my feet at night. Like, now he's like, can you scratch my back? I'm like, scratch your what? You know, it's like, I don't fucking have time for this. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
I totally get that, since we decided like kids and dogs are basically the same. Like, at like 11 p.m. the dog needs to be walked. I'm like not a dog person. God. But once I was like, I'm going to show Des that I'm like the best girlfriend ever. Like, he was ever doubting me. He was like, oh, the dog has to be walked. And I was like, I'll do it. And he's like, really? And I'm like, yes, I'm a hero. But I didn't understand that when you walk a dog and the dog starts like rolling on the ground, it means they're probably rolling around in dog shit.
Yeah.
I thought like when a cat rolls around her back, she's happy. So this dog's like rolling around, and then I walk her back and it's like 11:30. He's asleep and the dog reeks of dog shit. And I'm like, oh, there's the dog has poop all over him. And he's like, wakes up, like jolts out of bed, and he puts the dog, takes a shower with the dog. And he's just like, you're never walking the dog again. Not late at night.
Wait, so Des made you a dog person, basically?
Yeah. Except, like, obviously I've had some hiccups because I don't really understand dogs, but I love them.
Well, A, I'm happy that you love dogs.
Thank you.
And that you're not just, like, a weirdo cat lady.
Thank you. But I still am, but thank you.
Yeah, but that you have another side to you.
What's B? And that is kind of how I want to wrap up this podcast, because you never know where life is going to lead you. But I want to, I'm not playing the Seven Deadly Sins, because we played it last time. God. It's super intense. And Amanda's like terrible at answering them. But listen to Amanda's old question. Oh, you thought of something.
Yeah, I want to say something.
What do you want to say?
I was really complimented that in the group chat for your live show, I wrote something and someone thought I was Des.
Oh, yeah, because you were like, not wanting to be a part of it. And
yeah, and someone's like, that's
and
Des.
I was like, no, Des isn't responding because he's sitting next to me. I was like, Des, respond to the group chat. And he's like, I'm next to you.
Yeah, because Hannah asks questions on her podcast, which like, someone needs to corner this bitch and ask her those annoying questions that like, I don't know if my vocabulary is off, but I remember when we did the podcast last time, I was like, what does that mean? Like, none of the words I knew.
I asked her what gluttonous meant, and she was like, who?
Gluttonous.
But if you want to hear her answer the Seven Deadly Sins, I highly recommend you listen to Amanda's first episode on the podcast, where she is not a mom yet and kind of compare notes. Also listen to all the episodes I've went on Not Skinny, Not Fat. Not Skinny, But Not Fat. Sorry, Hannah. I did that on purpose. Actually, I didn't.
No, listen to Hannah on my podcast, because A, I'm better at interviewing. And and second of all, like, I got dirt out of her, and here she's like, who? Summer House who?
So to wrap this up, now that you're a mom and you're wise and you've brought a human into this planet, what advice would you give to people on how to cope with your hell when you're going through it?
Think about all the times you went through hell. They ended those times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It really helps me get through the day when I have a shitty day, where I'm like, hey, remember that fucking shitty day? Or you know what? That shitty month, that shitty year. You got through that year and then you had an amazing year. And okay, and then you had another shitty month. But then you got through that month. And so every single time I've had periods of anxiety or periods of hell, I came out the other side. And okay, we might have to deal with it again. It never goes away. We're not 100% perfect on any day, shape, form, year, lifetime. But we always, we end up getting better. We end up getting through those hard times and coming out the other side. So always know, like, you shall get through it. You shall come out the other side. And don't be hard on yourself, because that doesn't help anything. Being hard on yourself just makes it that much
worse.
You're
so right.
And also know this. People that go through hell are interesting. Okay.
You're going to have a better sense of humor.
We need trauma.
Yes. I do sometimes think that, or sometimes I'll be like, you know, something good's going to happen after this. I could tell. But history does repeat itself. And in the past, hell has froze over and good things will always come along.
Imagine you didn't have the fucking tennis trauma. What would that person review you about?
Yeah.
What would that person say you won't shut the fuck up
about? Yeah, she'd have nothing to say, and then I wouldn't be able to joke about it on this podcast, and it would have been boring. But Amanda, you're the fucking best. Where can people follow you, listen to you? Give me all the goods.
I hate that question too.
You are so judgy.
I think you should nix it. I think it's like 1999 podcast. We were like, where can people find you? Oh,
you don't want to get promoted? You know, I think promoted? We should nix it. Or you want me to say it? Okay, listen to Amanda's podcast, Not Skinny, Not Fat.
Not skinny, but not fat.
And listen to her episode with me. The other ones are like decent, but mine's pretty great. And then...
So Not Skinny, But Not Fat.
On Instagram.
All the episodes... But also the ones with Hannah.
Leave her a review. Also, say her name would be better if she took the butt out.
Hannah, I love you. Thank you for having me on.
And I'll talk to you guys later. In hell. Bye.